you're too busy to set goals, or if you're unsure what the right goals are for you, or if you're just not clear on what's next for you in your business and your life, I've got the solution you've been looking for. Join my free 7-day course designed for athletic-minded men who want to maximize their potential in business and life. And I'm going to help you create a clear plan for achieving your biggest goals faster. So if you feel like you're driving with the parking brake on, if you feel like you're going 100 miles an hour all day long, but not really moving the needle in your life, get started with me today. Get instant access to this 7-day course where you and I will get to interact live with each other. Plus, you'll have access to a community of like-minded, high-performing, athletic-minded, competitive men looking to unlock their next level as well. Just visit jimharshawjr.com/free. That's jimharshawjr.com/free.
How is this guy going to help me? He's been a banjo teacher for 40 years. He's not a senior level executive. And in my eyes or my frame of thought, I'm thinking, imagine the people that he's met in 40 years. So when you shift the way you think about the people that you're reaching out to, it now suddenly becomes relevant. And she had a great relationship with him. And lo and behold, his daughter-in-law happened to be vice president at a company she was interested in and made that connection.
Welcome, listeners, to a co-recorded podcast. So this is Jim Harshaw. I am the host of the Success for the Athletic-Minded Man podcast. We've got Melissa and Brittany here. And for the listeners of your show, you guys need no introduction, but I will. We're going to publish this on your podcast and on my podcast, which is pretty cool. So for your listeners, I will introduce myself. And for my listeners, I'll have you guys introduce yourself. So my name is Jim Harshaw. I am an executive life coach. We coach motivated professionals to gain clarity, consistency, and focus in business and life. And we use a unique framework that is inspired by world-class performers so that our clients can lead meaningful lives of purpose and impact. So I'll turn it over to you guys for an intro.
Hello, everybody. My name is Brittany Fowler, and I am an executive career advisor, and I'm also a spiritual coach as well. I really thought that my career was going to go in the direction of being a college professor and maybe running a university someday. Very, very passionate about education, and I specifically taught in the realm of science. And concurrently to doing that for almost a decade, I opened up my own coaching business, and that really took off. And I'm very, very glad that it did, because that is exactly how I fell into what I'm doing now as an executive career advisor. And I work alongside Melissa, and we are very fortunate to also have this amazing podcast as well called The Job Chicks. And I'm very excited for the future of my career, because I am always so inspired to educate and help other people be the best version that they can be in their career and life.
And I'm Melissa Bassano. I am also a co-host of the Job Chicks podcast. And my career started way back in 1994. I was an interview coach, actually. I worked for the Miss USA organization for about 25 years, as well as being a coach. I had a coaching business on the side as well, and came to Browning Associates, where Brittany and I both work as career strategists and coaches. I've been with Browning for about 12 years, and I love what I do. I have done nothing different in my life. I enjoy coaching for the last, I can't believe that I am saying that it's been 30 years this year.
You don't look old enough to be saying 30 years.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But yeah, I love what I do. And I really love our podcast, because Brittany and I are able to banter back and forth and give our audience what our clients really hear on a day-to-day from us, and it helps them make a strategy for their own careers.
So Brittany and I got connected through a mutual client of ours, Chris Bailey. Shout out to Chris. He's an incredible individual. And Chris said, hey, Jim, you know, Brittany and Browning Associates, they have such an amazing process, and it's so similar to what you teach and how you coach. You guys have to connect. And Brittany and I connected, and we realized we've got to record. We've got to bring as much value we can to both of our listeners through a conversation between us, so we can cross-pollinate like how we do the work that we do. And we both get amazing results. We come about it from different perspectives and in a little different format, but there's a lot of commonalities there. So I, you know, our goal, we agreed mutually, and this is for the listener, we are trying to bring you the most value possible in the next 40 minutes or so in terms of if you're looking to make a career transition, maybe you're in between jobs, or maybe you're just thinking about a career transition. It's like, where do I start? And here's the thing, you could probably go about it alone and it might be okay. It's going to take you a lot longer. You're going to make a lot more mistakes. You're going to probably end up in a career or a job that it is not where you would have landed had you worked with any one of us. But we are experts at what we do, right? Just like Tom Brady, when he was competing, he had a fitness coach, he had a nutrition coach to make him go from good to great. That's what we help our clients do. So Brittany, Melissa, I would love to hear from you. Like, how do you go about it whenever you start working with a client? How do you go about helping them make a career change? Like, what does that process look like? Where do you start?
Well, I feel like a lot of it is talking to the client to figure out, are they happy with the career that they've made? And do they want to change industries? And a lot of people in the beginning will tell you, yes, I'm burnt out. I want to change my industry. However, when you dig deeper and you ask really thought-provoking questions, it's not necessarily the industry that they want to change. It's they're burnt out. They've had a terrible boss. They had a toxic work environment. And they actually really enjoy the industry that they're in. They just did not enjoy the circumstances around it. So once you dive a little deeper into what the reason is for the change, it becomes clearer that it's not necessarily an industry change. It's really just a job change to a better environment. So I think really asking those thought-provoking questions is what's important in the first few meetings.
Yeah, you hear so many people talk about, this quote I love is, people don't leave jobs, they leave bosses.
Yes.
And I think it's just like, you're right, that speaks to it. They maybe don't necessarily deep down want to leave that industry, but maybe they think they do. But here's the point I want to point out for my listeners and for your listeners is this concept that I've identified through years of coaching, through hundreds and hundreds of podcast episodes. I've interviewed Navy SEALs and astronauts and CEOs and New York Times bestselling authors. And I've always asked them the same question. I started out by asking them the same question. I ask it in kind of different ways now, but because I was getting the same answer over and over, I would always say, what's one habit you most credit for your success? And for, you know, the New York Times bestselling author, you would assume it'd be some kind of writing habit. For the Olympic gold medalist, you would think it would be some kind of training habit, but it never was the thing that they're known for. It was always some version of stepping back, getting out of the rat race, out of what they do, you know, stepping back and asking specific questions that helps them get clear on what the right next steps are. And they say, like, you know, I do journaling, right? I journal every day. Or maybe I work with a coach or I work with a mentor. Or once a year, I had one guy tell me, once a year, my wife and I take a retreat, like a 2-day retreat. We just go away and evaluate how last year went, what worked, what didn't, and how to move forward this coming year. So it's like, it's always this stepping back.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned that question on myself and I said, okay, when I was wrestling as an All-American wrestler, like, what was the 1 hour that was the most valuable time spent? It was never, you know, you would think it was like, okay, it was probably in the training, in the wrestling room, practicing. It was in the weight room or it was watching film or something like that. And it never was. The single most important hour that I ever spent any wrestling season was when I sat down with my coaches in the beginning of the season and said, you know, we talked about, what are your goals for the year? What's the plan? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What do we need to work on? And that 1 hour led to everything else being more effective. And so I've coined this term to describe this concept. It's called the productive pause. So the productive pause is defined as this. It's a short period of focused reflection around specific questions that leads to clarity of action and peace of mind. And I think, Melissa, that's what you're talking about is like, you're not just saying, okay, let's start submitting resumes. No, you're like doing a productive pause. You're stepping back and saying, okay, what is it about your job? What is it about the industry that you think you don't like? And you're helping them get clarity first. So it sounds like you're starting out with clarity.
Absolutely. 100%. Because if they're not clear on, I really do love what I do, or I just am tired of it, I want to move on to something different because I really don't like this industry anymore, they really have to know that 90% of the time, maybe even 95% of the time, it's burnout and toxic environment and they still love their industry. So I love the pause because I feel like it gives people time to reflect on really what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. I call it the art of the pause. In fact, when I do public speaking engagements around conscious communication, the art of the pause is one of my strategies that I bring to the audience because, you know, you are all about the athletic mind. So you'll probably relate to being in the pocket. So athletes and musicians can relate to what that phrase means, being in the pocket, that moment of pause. Not necessarily let me take a long time to reflect or work with a coach, but the art of the pause can actually even come in before we communicate or we respond to something. And although that's true in, you know, everyday communication, when you're making a change in your life, whether it's your career, your love life, whatever the case may be, you need that reflective moment. A lot of people don't understand why would I pay for a coach? The coaching element of it is really everything, because if you don't know how to reflect and you don't know how to ask yourself these thought-provoking questions, then sitting there in silence isn't really going to do you good. So that coach understands what questions to ask. And Melissa, I know you can relate to this. A coach also has to be honest with you, because we lie to ourselves. We try to say things are okay and that that's not the real problem, because a lot of times we don't have that sense of safety where we can admit things openly. And a coach allows you that safe space to say, you know, it seems like it might actually be your boss and not your industry. And then for the first time, they can say it out loud, like, wow. And just that paradigm shift in that moment can help them have hope for their future. Okay, maybe I don't have to change industries. Maybe I have to look for a different type of company and company culture.
Yeah. There's a great quote. I think Donald Miller is at least where I heard this first. He's a great business coach. And he said, we are on the inside of the jar trying to read the label. I think it's such a great analogy, a great metaphor. It's like we're on the inside of the jar trying to read the label. There are certain things we can't see that a coach can, especially a trained coach. And a trained coach who can help see your blind spots, help you look in the mirror in a way that you've never looked in the mirror before to help you get clarity so you can figure out, you know, just what are you missing? Like in the military, they call it an after action review, you know, that you pause, you do this after action review, and you say, what worked, what didn't work, what do I need to do differently? But you can't do that without having somebody outside of you, outside of your own head. And the listener, you know, Melissa, Brittany, and myself, like we get inside our own heads too sometimes. And you're stuck in your own head and you have these circular conversations and you feel stuck and you need somebody outside of your head helping you unwind these things and sort these things out. So, okay. So you guys start with clarity. Then what does the process look like next? Just start throwing resumes out there? Is that what we do?
No, gosh, no. A lot of steps before then. Part of the clarity, which I don't want to skip the importance of this, is a lot of people can't separate the difference between what I'm really good at versus what I'm really good at but passionate about. So you find a lot of people in their career, they have fallen from role to role to role because they're just really good at it. They've never actually had the opportunity to pause and say, but do I like this? So we give them that opportunity to say, let's sift through everything you've done and make a pile of what you love doing and what you don't necessarily love doing. Because before we move forward, we want to make sure that we're moving forward and reaching that next career summit, bringing you sustainable happiness and fulfillment, not just giving you the same of what you've already received. So that element is crucial before we start to brand who you really are, but we're really branding your future self when we're doing so. Right, Melissa?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's really a process. You know, the resume piece of it, where people think that that's exactly what they're going to do, is they're going to reach out to their friends and say, hey, I'm looking for a job. Here's my new resume. And that's actually the last step that we do, because there's so many things before that in figuring out where you want to go. If you have that clarity from the beginning, it's now starting to have conversations with people. And it's not about the job. It's about having good conversation and getting connected to other people. You know, every connection has opportunity. I'm a big believer in echo. Every connection has opportunity. And that means you may talk with your next door neighbor who you don't think is maybe even at a senior level, but you're having good conversation with them. And they may have a brother-in-law who's in your industry who you can have a good conversation with that they can connect you to. So for us, that's what it's all about, is making those really good connections to have better conversation around your industry and where you want to go.
It's interesting you talk about the connections, and I want to hear you talk more about this concept of echo. Every connection has opportunity. Mm-hmm. So right before our interview here, about a half an hour ago, I got off of a mastermind call with a bunch of my clients who are on this call. It's an optional call. No one's kind of putting their feet to the fire to require them to be there. But there were at least three different comments, and I captured these. I'm going to read these real quickly, because this is the value of connection. This is the value of being around other people, reaching out to people, connecting with people. So one guy said, I love this group. The value of the feedback is amazing. And listen, I'm not pitching my course, this or program. I'm pitching get around other people. So he said, I love this group. The value of feedback is amazing. The more guys I meet in this group, the more I get to know, the more I'm continually impressed. And I can't leave this call optional for me anymore. It's easy to skip, but there's so much value when I show up. And that's the point. You just have to show up. You have to do the outreach. You have to connect with people, because I have a client who I worked with years ago, and he was going through a career transition. I said, you know, talk about, you know, who you can reach out to and connections and meeting people. And he's really not like, doesn't come natural, like networking. He doesn't like networking. I was like, well, how about connecting? Do you like connecting with people and building relationships and reconnecting with old friends? And he said, yeah. And so, you know, we had kind of made some action items on that. He came back to the one call and he's like, I'm just having this epiphany that magic happens when I connect with people. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's it. Like, magic happens when you connect with people, right? Every connection has opportunity. So Melissa, tell us about this concept of every connection has opportunity. Quick interruption. Hey, if you like what you're hearing, be sure to get the notes, quotes, and links in the action plan from this episode. Just go to jimharshawjr.com/action. That's jimharshawjr.com/action to get your free copy of the action plan. Now back to the show.
Well, people in a job search think that when we tell them they're going to make a list of people, they think they have to make a list of people who are in their industry, who are C-suite, and those are the people that they think, in quotes, can help them. And it's actually not those people that can help you or want to help you. It's the everyday person. It's your neighbor. It's your banjo teacher. It is your trainer. It's all of your barber, anybody who you're having regular conversation with and also interacts with a lot of people are the people that are going to make the connections for you. So when we first start working with clients, we ask them to make a list so they can start having conversations. And inevitably, their first list will always be C-suite or senior level people. And I have to dial it back for them and say, okay, that's great that they're on your list, but let's talk about other people that you can just have good conversation with. People maybe you haven't talked to in 3 to 6 months or 3 to 6 years, and you want to call and have a good conversation with them because you want to get that conversation moving because you just don't know who they know. You know, I had a client who she wasn't grasping the concept because she really was thinking it was senior level people that she had to be in touch with. And there was someone on her list that she kept leaving off the call list. And I said banjo teacher before because that's who exactly.
Yeah, I was thinking banjo teacher. Come on, really?
It was a banjo teacher.
She's really stretching now.
This is a real story. He's been a banjo teacher for 40 years. So she's thinking, how is this guy going to help me? He's been a banjo teacher for 40 years. He's not a senior level executive. And in my eyes or my frame of thought, I'm thinking, imagine the people that he's met in 40 years. So when you shift the way you think about the people that you're reaching out to, it now suddenly becomes relevant. And she had a great relationship with him. And then she just initiated this great conversation. And lo and behold, his daughter-in-law happened to be vice president at a company she was interested in and made that connection. And it's a real story. So I use these stories all the time. I could tell you a million of them, but that one sticks out to me because it was a banjo teacher. And most people would think, how is this guy going to help me? When in actuality, he knows a lot more people than you think. So never underestimate who's in your network. Your network is where your wealth is.
A lot of guys come into my program and they have limiting beliefs. And some of them know, some of them don't know. But they come in and they're capped by sort of these default thoughts about what is possible for them, what they can achieve, what roles they can get, what they can do in their career. And I find that that is a big piece of this is unlocking limiting beliefs. If you have these limiting beliefs planted into you from childhood about what's possible for you, or if you have limiting beliefs planted into you from prior failures, then you're going to limit what is possible. Do you guys have any experience with helping people first identify and then work through limiting beliefs?
I'm going to let Brittany take this in 1 second, but the one way that I identify this type of person is I call them the yeah, but people. You know, it works for everybody else, but yeah, but that doesn't work for me. And that tells me immediately they have limiting beliefs, but I'm going to let Brittany expand on it.
So there's two things that come to mind for me. One is storytelling, and number two is data. But if you can use other people's challenges and triumphs, real ones, real tangible ones, I'm going to throw Chris Bailey out there since we already name dropped him. But, you know, if I have a client who's struggling with something similar to Chris has fairly recently, I'm going to say, hey, listen, so I'm actually working with someone else right now, and you're kind of reminding me of them. And I tell a story about how they were in a similar boat. They had the same challenge. They had a triumph. And when you storytell with people, it makes it more real for them to be able to overcome those challenges. So storytelling is one. Data is very helpful for me because a lot of people will push back with the yeah, but. And I have to come so confident to the table to say, what you're saying, there's no data for me, the data that I'm collecting, there's no data that says that your belief holds any weight. And let me explain why. So for example, when I have clients that go down the rabbit hole of just cold applying on LinkedIn, I've collected data for the past 2 years. I have no data that shows that method is effective. So as your career advisor, I cannot say that that is time well spent. Okay, Brittany, well, if I'm going to trust that you're right with that, then what should I be doing? Let me show you what the data says. So I like to bring realism into the equation with statistics and such, because then that can help people shift things without just like philosophical quotes.
Yeah, those are great. I love data. I love storytelling. There's another thing that we do that is probably a little bit somewhere in between both of those. There's a concept in cognitive behavioral therapy. And by the way, I'm not a therapist, asterisk there, but there's a concept in cognitive behavioral therapy that is called cognitive restructuring. And I've taken that concept and created an exercise that we call a cognitive conversion. And this is having this mindset shift into what is possible. And so we start out by identifying a limiting belief or something that is, you know, it's just this yeah, but, right? To highlight what Melissa said, they have a yeah, but around something. And we say, okay, what is the objective evidence that is true? And we have them identify, you know, they write down and identify what is just supporting evidence of this, right? And well, here there's this and this, and I never achieve this. And this is what usually happens when I try that. And then we say, what is evidence to the contrary? What is other evidence, right? And it might be yourself, you know, stories that you tell yourself or things that you've experienced before that are actually contrary to this belief. What is the data that's out there? What is other information that you can pull in that is contrary to your belief? And we take those two, right? There's some truth, some stuff that's actually, okay, yeah, this justifies my limiting belief. And then I never really considered this other stuff that actually is contrary to supporting my limiting belief. And then we identify a new belief and actually write down what is the new belief that we can actually carry forward. And that is such a breakthrough. And it's a thing that really we all need to do. And it's an exercise that has to be revisited. You can't just do it once. And then we'll take that. And then we have some other exercises and things where we'll use the, 'cause mindset is such a big piece of this. Like, if you just don't believe that you can get that job that you want, start that business that you want, get that promotion, make that career shift, if you don't believe it, it's going to be a lot. I mean, You may stumble into it, but it's going to be a heck of a, it's going to be so much harder. So you have to reinforce this stuff. You have to do the mindset work. I have these mindset work, you know, books behind me. Like there's one called The Confident Mind, written by a guy, one of my podcast guests. His name's Nate Zinser. He was the director of performance at West Point for 30 years. He spoke at my retreat for my clients twice. And these concepts in there, these are things that he's done with Olympians, with people like Eli Manning, who was a two-time Super Bowl MVP. He was their mindset coach, and he did these activities with them, as well as tons of soldiers over the decades. And you have to actually do the work. You have to actually do these exercises. So, for example, one of them, which is something I sort of started doing even before I met Dr. Zinser, and I realized this is something that sports psychologists and performance psychologists do, is identify your wins, identify your successes, write down all the awards you've received, write down the recognition you've received, write down even the compliments you've received, and document this stuff. Keep a running tally of this. And then recording a voice memo on your phone, like an audio of you reading this, speaking to that little voice inside of your head that is justifying your limiting beliefs. And you have to listen to it repetitively. You have to listen to it. I did this for a lot of years because I had limiting beliefs around me being able to start my own business. And I had some successes and failures in business in the past. And I just wasn't sure if I could, you know, start this business on the side whenever I was working full-time, 60 hours a week with four kids. And I had these limiting beliefs. And then I did this and I was listening to it every day. And I realized this is actually, later on, I learned this is something that Dr. Zinser has his clients do. But it's, you have to have a practice. Otherwise, it's just something you do and you have this, you know, logical epiphany, but it's not connected to your heart and to your emotion.
Yeah, it's something I think that is, for me, is intuitive because we were talking about this earlier. I've had cancer twice. And one of the things that I did during that time when I was going through treatments and then after was exactly what you just said, was recording myself telling myself that I'm healthy, that this is just, you know, a small blip in my life and I'm going to get beyond it and I'm healthy, I'm happy, I'm prosperous. And I would really just talk to myself and say, I have all these wonderful things to look forward to. And every day and every way, my life gets better and better. And I would listen to it every single day, every single day. And it really helped my mindset as a survivor, because it comes along with so much anxiety afterwards. You know, you hear the words cancer-free, that's great, but you have a lot of PTSD and all this anxiety that you have to work through. And that was an exercise that really helped me overcome that.
Wow, that's powerful. I mean, yeah, you're talking, for the listener, like this is someone who stared death in the face twice and put these into practice, and that story could define you, but you've moved forward. Like you told me before we hit record, like I've moved forward and created this amazing life. And for listener, like you go, yeah, but who does that kind of stuff? Well, people who create the kind of life that Melissa has created after something so traumatic. There's a guy named Aaron Donald, just retired from the NFL. He was a pass rusher, one of the greats. And he was mic'd up during a game, and it was like, there's this audio clip of him just before kickoff. Guys are still kind of on the field warming up, and he's walking up and down the sidelines talking to himself, talking out loud to himself. And he's going, you want to be great? Today's the day. You want to be great? Go for it. Like, today's the day you've been waiting for. You welcome this. You love this. Like, be great today. Go do it. And he's just like amping himself up, like speaking the thoughts into his mind, like overriding his limiting beliefs. You're like, oh, Jim, he doesn't have limiting beliefs. Yes, he does. Otherwise, he wouldn't be doing that. But he's one of the greats. And this is the kind of habit that you have to put in place. And if you want to make a career change, unlock your potential, like, you know, these are the things that the great ones do. It doesn't just come easy to them. You know, my podcast used to be called Success Through Failure. So if you go back and listen to any of the episodes prior to January 1 this year, you can hear, you know, the focus was really on failure and overcoming failure, learning from failure. And I got to interview all these amazing people and talk about their failures.
Right.
And you go, yeah, but that person didn't fail. Nope, they did. They had these amazing, incredible failures that they sucked. they weren't like smiling, going, oh, well, no problem. I'm just going to march right through and everything's going to be great. And my story is going to be, you know, end up with me on the podium and successful. It's like, no, they had doubt and fears and uncertainty through this as well. And they also had habits and routines and a mindset and a voice that would help them override those limiting beliefs and negative thoughts.
I actually just posted something today. I'm sure Brittany saw it on LinkedIn and one of our other social media pages. And it, you know, I do Fearless Fridays and I really put a quote up about fear. And today was, I don't always feel fierce and fearless, but I know I'm a rock star at being human and allowing those feelings to actually happen. So I know the next day I'll be fearless and fierce. And you have to feel that sometimes the failure and that inner monologue, you know, everyone has an inner monologue. Even people like Tom Brady or the most successful people have an inner monologue telling them that they're not good enough at some point in their life. And it could be, you know, the day before he's about to play in a Super Bowl and he's questioning, you know, am I good enough for this? Am I too old for this? You know, but the real piece of it is turning that around, turning that inner monologue around to I am fierce, I am fearless, and knowing that live in your humanness, but know that you can achieve it because that inner monologue needs to change to make sure that those positive thoughts are sticking in there.
Yep, absolutely. What you don't change, you choose. So we know that challenges are inevitable. Even the most well-mastered people are still going to face challenges. And when those challenges come, you have a choice. Are you going to let that challenge overtake you? Or are you going to face that challenge? Because the only way out is through. You got to get through that challenge. And I believe that to an extent, you have control over how long that challenge is in your life based on that mindset. Because what happens is when you don't face that challenge with a positive mindset, you let that challenge overtake you. And this is where people get stuck. And there are people who are stuck for years. And we know that there are people who, unfortunately, are stuck for life. They live a life that is not well lived because they let that one challenge be their identity for the rest of their life. So every time you're faced with a challenge, you have to remember that it's a choice for how it is you're going to approach that. And the self-talk, this inner monologue that you guys are talking about, that's its own separate personality from yourself. And that needs to be fed with the proper skills. And again, this is why a coach comes in handy, because the coach is able to actually provide you those skills to start integrating in your inner monologue.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a point in my life where I was stuck and I really didn't know if there was a path forward for me. So I had, after my wrestling career was over, I got into coaching, coached for about a decade. And then I got out of coaching, started my first business that was successful, sold that, started my next business, raised some angel capital and started a software company. And about 2 years into it, we had revenue, we had customers, but not enough to keep the lights on. So end up having to shut that down. And I found myself stuck. I found myself at this low point where, you know, we had a ton of debt because I was like, you know, we were all in on this business and it didn't work. I was so single-minded focused on this because I had to make this work for my family. And so wasn't connecting with my wife, wasn't spending enough time with my kids, wasn't working out. I was like, so we call off the path. My program's called Reveal Your Path. We call it off the path. I was so off the path that, you know, I didn't know what was next for me or even how to figure out what was next. I didn't know what the right goals were. I didn't have clarity on what I even wanted. And I remember laying in bed one night thinking to myself, like, how do I figure this out? Like, how do I get unstuck? And I realized that I had already lived this once before. And so there was a blueprint for this. And the way I lived this before is when I was in high school, I was, you know, wrestler was my thing, and, you know, failed at achieving any of my goals as a wrestler. Got to the University of Virginia, got recruited to UVA, and I just felt like stuck when I got there. I thought, I'm in over my head. I don't know if I can succeed here wrestling-wise, because everybody on the team was a state champion or a three-time state place winner. I was none of those. I was just a recruited walk-on, non-scholarship athlete. Academically, it was the number one public university in the country. I had good grades, but not good enough to get into a school like UVA. So wrestling opened the door for me. And so I felt like I was in over my head there. And then socially, like I was a blue collar kid. My dad was a construction worker. Mom was a secretary. And, you know, this was all new and really didn't know if I was going to be able to cut it there. And this is this sort of elite white collar school. And I didn't fit in. And you fast forward 5 years, I redshirted my freshman year, competed the next 4 years, and I ended up winning 3 ACC championships, ended up on the podium at the national championships as an All-American. I was invited to live and train at the Olympic Training Center as an Olympic hopeful. I got 2 great degrees. I got an undergraduate and a master's degree from a great school. And on the social side, I found balance, you know, on that side as well. So I complete transformation happened there. And I thought to myself sort of later in life, I'm laying in bed, staring at the ceiling, stressed out, thinking like, how do I get unstuck? I'm like, what was in place then that's not in place in my life now? Like what was in place then that allowed me to have clarity, consistency, focus, unlock limiting beliefs, push through and go from sort of average high school wrestler to one of the best in the country at what I did. There's a framework there. And this framework is what helped me get unstuck. This framework is the backbone of our coaching program. And there's 4 things. And so, and I think this aligns with what you guys do, especially this first part. The first part is getting clarity on what is it that I actually want? Like, what do I actually want? Like if I take off the limiting beliefs, take off the guardrails, dream a little bit. Like, what do I actually want? So you get, number one, you got to get clarity in terms of what you want. And we have sort of different ways that we go about that. We don't come right at it and say, hey, what do you want? Because they don't know. Like we have some different ways to sort of extract this from our clients. So number one is clarity on what I want, you know, the vision. And then what are my core values? Like, what are the things that I actually value in life? And some, you know, most of us know this at a superficial level, but until you do the deep work to really uncover why, they're just words on a page. And so we make these actually clear and meaningful. So that's step one. So step one is like, you have that level of clarity when you're an athlete, like win, lose, it's black and white. You know, we have that and we have to get that in life too. And then the second step is these, what we call aligned goals, creating goals that align with the vision, goals that align with the values. And I think that's what you guys do is create these goals in terms of career goals that align with what they actually want, as opposed to what they might fall into or what their parents want for them or whatever society tells them that they should want. And so number two, we have to get them very clear. There are goals that align with the vision and the values. And we create goals in 4 areas. Relationships, self, health, and wealth. So relationships, self, health, and wealth. And the wealth is the career piece. And then we create what we call micro goals and we score them, we track them because, you know, in sports, which is kind of the analogy that we always go back to, like there's a scoreboard, there's a win-loss record, you're tracking your bench press, you're tracking your 40 speed, like whatever it is, there's metrics and we have to have those metrics as well. And then, so the first part is vision and values. Second part is aligned goals. The third piece is what we call the environment of excellence. Like being around other people who have similar aspirations. Like, you know, when I trained at the Olympic Training Center, I was around world-class athletes. So the standard just goes up. The bar goes up. The belief in terms of what is possible just goes up because you're around a bunch of other people who believe at this high level and they're actually doing these things. So actually maybe I'm kind of one of them now, you know? So we have to have this environment and we have to have, you know, part of that is also the coach. Like we talked about having a coach, this person who kicks us in the rear end if we need a kick or helps us course correct if we need that. And then the fourth and final piece is you have to have a plan to actually follow through on things. And that's, again, where a coach comes in. But like when I was wrestling, if I lost a match on a Friday night and I'm sitting in the corner feeling sorry for myself, you know, coach comes over after the match. He's like, hey, Jim, you know, I'll see you tomorrow morning in the weight room, 8 a.m. Be there. Like it or not, there's a plan to follow through. And that's what I think you guys do. You're holding people accountable, helping them, guiding them, helping them have that clarity. And that's what we do is we help them put this infrastructure into their lives so that they can get clear on what they want, execute upon it, have a supporting staff around them in their environment of excellence, and then actually follow through even when the kids get sick or the car breaks down or they go through the holidays and, you know, ate too much, drank too much, and are so off the path. Like you got to still have a plan to follow through and execute.
I have a question for you. So Melissa and I see this a lot, and that has to do with the time frame. And this might in some ways go along with being off the path. It could also be limiting beliefs. It could be like a ball of all of it. We see a lot of pushback with time frame and people say, hey, like, we're following what you're saying. Hmm. And it has taken us 5 months. I wanted this to take 3 months.
Yeah.
What advice would you have for people who are on the path, but it's taking longer than they initially intended to?
Yeah. So that's it. Like, we all want results. Like, I've been doing the work. I should get the results. And you're right. And you should assume that those results are going to come, but they're not always going to come in your time. And we talk about this, and this is going back to sports, is like, you've got to focus on the process, not the outcome. You can control the process. You cannot control the outcome. You can't control the outcome of a football game if you're a quarterback. You can't control the outcome of a wrestling match if you're a wrestler. You can't control the outcome of a swimming race if you're a swimmer. You cannot control that. Here's what you control. You control the food you put in your body. You control what time you go to bed. You control if you show up early for practice and stay late. You control if you rehab your injuries. You control the words that you say to yourself. You control the process. You don't control anything else. And I'm preaching to the choir with you guys, but like, I want the results now too. I always have to go back to, okay, if I'm not getting the results, what can I adjust in my process? Is there something? If so, great, adjust it, right? What did you say? If you don't change, it's a choice?
Yeah, what you don't change, you're choosing.
What you don't change, you're choosing. And so if you're not changing your process, and maybe your process is great, you're working with your coach, you're dialed in, and the process is great, keep going. Mm-hmm. And the results, they will come. And when, we don't know. But you can always go back, you know, review the tape, review the film. What am I doing right? Okay, hey, listen, I reached out to these 20 people, and boy, I got traction with these three, got traction. What can I learn from that? How can I replicate that? You know, what's the data that I can use from that to continually improve the process?
Yeah, there's two things I think that are important that you said was consistency and accountability. And as long as you are consistent and you hold yourself accountable, the results will come in the time they're supposed to come. You can't set that time frame and say, you know, in 3 months, I'm going to have this $1 million a year job and this is what it's going to look like. It's okay to make a list, but that time frame really is indicative of the consistency and accountability. And then that time frame will happen. But I think those two things cannot exist or have to exist in order to have success.
Absolutely, Melissa. There's a great story, and there's a book written about Elon Musk. And it was written in like 2019. So it's like ancient history and what he's accomplished, of course. And I know he's a controversial figure, but I'm just going to use him as an example of somebody who's just achieved absurdly incredible things. And he wanted to build, I think it was his first rocket engine. He wanted to build it in 18 months for, I forget how many millions. Like, I'm going to make up a number. I don't actually remember that. It was like $10 million or something like that. And it might've been a lot more than that actually, and he ended up building it. It took like 4 years and like three times as much money, but he still did it. Right. We look at this guy as somebody who's, you know, he runs 6 multi-billion dollar companies and like, yeah, everything he touches is successful. Like, no, it's actually not. He's probably one of the greatest failures in history. If you actually read what he's done.
Absolutely.
But it's this, and you can look at any successful person, right? And you see that it doesn't always come on the exact time frame. Sometimes it comes faster, but usually it takes longer, you know?
And with any challenge, going back to challenges are inevitable, with any challenge, it really forces you to reevaluate your beliefs. Mm. It's a period for you to reevaluate your method. And we can learn so much about ourselves and what we're capable of in those periods of challenge. So just because a challenge arises doesn't mean you've done something wrong. The only way out is through. You just have to persevere.
Can I tell you my Elon Musk story?
Please.
So this goes back to Echo. Every connection has opportunity. And we had a hurricane, I'm going to say maybe 2 years ago. We didn't, but Florida did, in the Naples area. And one of my former clients, her husband was a doctor, and they were trying to get medical assistance to people, but they were completely offline. And she was thinking, okay, who do I know who can help me? So she's always, I always say every connection has opportunity. So the first person she thought of was me. So she called me and she said, okay, I have a crazy question, but I think you can help me. She said, do you know anyone at Starlink? And if there's anybody who's going to know somebody, it's you. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I don't know someone personally at Starlink, but I know somebody who knows somebody at Starlink. And I connected them. And within 24 hours, I was on all the text messages from Starlink and SpaceX and all. I mean, it was incredible how they got the device to her. They were able to get her area. They got the satellite moved over to that area so they could have internet. It was the most incredible thing. I still get goosebumps thinking about it. It was the most incredible thing. Yeah. It all comes down to every connection has opportunity. Who would think that, you know, her executive career coach in Boston would have a connection to somebody who knew somebody at Starlink and was able to get this done? So when I say every connection has opportunity, I truly mean it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Such a good story. I think it's also a testament to networking with the intent of building your network, not networking with the intent of getting a job. Because you never know who you're going to need to give a call to in any given time for anything. So meet as many people as you possibly can. Write notes on who they are. And I know I've said this on the Job Chicks podcast before, but it's just so true. You don't know who you're going to need to know and when you're going to need to know them. But being able to pick up your phone and say, hey, I think you know someone who knows someone. It's just so invaluable for community, the sense of community. As a human being, we should all be interconnected as much as we possibly can for life, not just a job.
Yeah. Right. So why don't we bring this to a close with some action items? I think there's a lot of great stuff that we shared here, and I think it would be helpful to give the listeners like one thing. I'll give one thing and one or two things, and you guys can give one or two things. And I'll let you guys start, and so we can give the action, some kind of action item, something that the listener can do in, let's say, the next 24 to 48 hours to start moving on what we shared here.
Sure. I'll go first. Of course, piggybacking on Echo, every connection has opportunity. Make a list. Start making a list of, say, 20 people that you know that maybe you haven't talked to in, say, 3 to 6 months or maybe even 3 to 6 years, but you know they would be happy if they heard from you, if they got a message from you, and just connect with them. Have a great conversation with them. It doesn't have to be about something specific. Just reconnect with them and start learning how to do that, because you never know who's in their network or who's in your network that they might need. But I think that's a really good first step, is just making that list and start making those connections again.
Love that.
I think my piece of wisdom I want to drop here is be very mindful of who you're surrounding yourself with and receiving advice from. Aim to surround yourself with people who are living lives that you aspire to be in parallel with. I think we oftentimes take advice from the wrong people, and we often take advice from people who are doing less than us or who have not gotten as far as us. And I think that that's more detrimental than you think. Another testament to networking with people, you know, reach out to folks who are doing what it is you want to do and get really good with interviewing them. Pick their brain about what they've learned and how they've gotten to where they are. That is my piece of advice for today.
Yeah. Environment of excellence. That's so true. And I'll wrap up with this is, and by the way, most listeners are not going to do anything we're suggesting here. But for you, the one listener who's out there, the one who I'm in your ear right now, we want you to do this. We want you to take action on it, because this is the stuff that we get paid to have people actually do with us. Because most people just don't do it on their own. And so that's what a coach does. They get you to actually do the things that you know that you need to do. And what I'm going to say is hit the pause button, do a productive pause, and actually script out what your ideal life looks like. And listen, it's going to be scary. And you're going to say, yeah, but, you know, I can't do it. Like, don't worry, but just ignore that stuff for the moment. Write down what your ideal life looks like. What does your morning look like? What does your day look like? What kind of job do you have? And maybe you don't even know what kind of, you just kind of know what your job feels like. Script it out, write it out. Don't worry about it being perfect. It's not going to be. You can come back and edit it tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. If you it's not something that'll ever be really perfect, but just script it out, because when you do that, just the act of doing any of the three things that we just talked about right here, the act of doing any of these is going to, it literally could be the pivot point, the catalyst that will change your life forever. And that is not an exaggeration. So Melissa, Brittany, it was so great coming together on the show and getting to share, your stuff with my audience. And thank you for letting me share with your audience as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.